Now extended through January 14th, join a clean and spacious Planet Fitness for zero enrollment and only $10 a month. With tons of equipment and free fitness training, it's the perfect place for everybody to work out.
Even me, mister, I'm so stressed I grind my teeth more than most people grind coffee.
Especially you. Give your anxiety clenched jaw a rest.
My molars will be so happy.
Start feeling fit-tacular today. Join InClub or at planetfitness.com. Zero enrollment, $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 14th. See Club for details.
This episode of the Delvin Cox Experience is brought to you by Jared Albrick and the Long Box Crusade. Make sure you check out Jared on Twitter at Yard Sale Artist. Also, if you'd like to purchase some of his cool art or other things, check him out at theyardsaleartist.bigcartel.com. It's a lot of cool things on there that I know you probably find something that you like. You can check out the Long Box Crusade anywhere you get podcasts. Also, they have a Patreon at patreon.com/TheLongBoxCrusade. You can check out their podcast, The Crusader Chronicles, Saturday Matinee Theater, Action Film Face Off, and many more. So make sure you check them out on any podcast service that you like and look up Long Box Crusade and you'll find their stuff. Thank you.
Welcome to the
Delvin Cox Experience, the podcast in which each week I'm on a one-man mission to unite our culture through diversity. I'm your host, Delvin Cox, and with me this week on the podcast, I have a special guest. Let him know who you are, brother.
What's good, everybody? I'm Jason Almy from Team Almy from Shit Happens When You Party Naked from the Inner Circle Podcast Network. What's up, everybody?
Awesome, awesome, awesome. You should know who he is. If you don't, you will get to know him today.
If you don't, you go and learn.
Awesome. As always, we'd like to start the podcast off with the five for five. Five questions, five answers to get the ball rolling. Jason, are you ready?
Ah, geez. Wow. I didn't know this was going to be a test. I would have studied. Nervous now.
Okay. Only person who's ever felt this test is Loaf, so you'll be fine.
I think I'm ready. I plan on cheating, though. I've written all the answers on my inner thigh.
Question number one. What is the best album you've listened to this past year?
Ooh, best album that I've listened to this past year. Do I have to have listened to the whole album in its entirety?
No, and it doesn't have to be new.
Okay. Yeah, because I was going to say, I don't know that I've listened to it. Like, do people still listen to whole albums, like, in their entirety? Like, you sit down. I mean, you're kind of, you know, you're my age. You remember. Like, yeah. You used to put on a CD in your car, or if you were hanging out at home or whatever, you'd put a CD in. And if you were busy doing something else, you'd let the whole thing play. You know, now it's like everything's Spotify and iPods and all this shit. I feel like an old man just saying that, but you know, it's like everything's a playlist and it's like mix and match. And you get to take the three, like, most banging tracks off a particular album. And you don't have to listen to all the deep cuts. I feel like there's a whole generation that's missing out on this. Geez.
I agree with that completely.
Maybe, I've listened to some of the Chronic, Dr. Dre's original Chronic, which is a fantastic album. That whole album is fucking amazing. I've listened to some of that. Biggie is always on the rotation, so I've heard some Biggie this year as well. Yes. I haven't listened to the whole album. Life After Death is the one that, album. Oh, that one's so freaking good. And I've listened to tracks off of both of those. I've listened to the Beatles. So like
the Beatles.
You mentioned Beatles diversity. What, I mean, how do you go from, how do you have two more diverse groups than that? Like Biggie and Dre, and then Ringo and George Harrison. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're different folks.
Yes, so, that's my type of music, man. That's how diverse I am with my music.
I'll throw the White Album in because, you know, we're all about diversity. So the Chronic and the White Album, Beatles and Dre.
White Album's a good album.
I love While My Guitar Gently Weeps. That song is badass. I get a lot of people bitching about the Beatles, like, oh, I don't like Hold My Hand. I'm like, I don't like Hold My Hand either. I'm not listening to 1964 Beatles. Fuck off with that. But if you don't get stoned on mushrooms on a Saturday night and rock out to While My Guitar Gently Weeps, you don't know what's going on. You don't know how to live, because you got to take some mushrooms, maybe some LSD if you can get your hands on it, put the White Album on, and then When My Guitar Gently Weeps, you're like floating across the sky in Neptune or some shit. It's awesome. That's the way to live.
Also, watch the Yellow Submarine movie.
Yeah, that one's fun.
Awesome. Question number two.
Whew, okay.
Huh. This is a good one. I don't ask that many people this question. What superhero you think you're most closely like?
Oh, man. Well,
like, you have to pick a superhero and you say, there's two things. There's a superhero that you want to be, then there's one that you're probably most likely like.
I completely agree with that. I've often said, I think the one that I like the most, the one that I admire the most, is probably Captain America, because he's kind of a Boy Scout, but he's a good guy. He treats everybody right. He conducts himself with a lot of respect and just very good, like, moral behavior. So he's a good one to look up to aspire to, for what he stands for and shit. And I know that I'm nothing like him, because I'm like, I got way too many bad qualities. Like, I'm selfish, I'm petty, I'm vain, I'm narcissistic, I'm self-obsessed. I masturbate too much. I swear too much. I fart in public, and I blame it on the old guy sitting next to me on the bus. There's just all sort of shit that I do that's not very Captain America-like. I want to compare myself to Tony Stark because he never shuts the fuck up, but I'm not rich or talented, so I'm really not like Tony Stark either. The Hulk is, I can't even, you know, I'm not that strong or green, so nowhere near the Hulk. Once he becomes Professor Hulk, too, like, he's pretty big, right? So he's got to have, he's got to have a monster Hulk cock at all times. I don't know where he's slinging that thing, because I don't see She-Hulk anywhere. I'm pretty sure they were cousins in the comic books, so that's going to be weird.
They are cousins,
but like, human bitches are not taking that giant green cock. At least when he turned back into Banner, like, he'd have a normal penis and he could do all the fucking for both of them. Like, Banner could do all the fucking. So I'm definitely not like the Hulk, because I don't have a huge green penis at all. It's not even, my penis is nothing like the Hulk's penis at all. I don't know, maybe Ant-Man? Maybe Ant-Man, because he's kind of like a normal dude, you know, been to jail, gets his ass kicked a whole lot.
Charming.
Yeah. Yeah. A little charming. Yeah. 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 So, but
that
not
works for you.
Yeah. I could do like an Ant-Man. I could do like a Paul Rudd thing, kind of have that going on.
Okay. I like that answer. Question number three, and everybody's favorite question, which I can never take out. What is the dumbest thing you've ever done as a kid?
Oh, man.
Let me clarify this. A kid to me is 18 and under. In college, I think college does count. I would say if you're a college student, that counts as well.
I see. Okay. So we're talking about all sort of, like, you could start getting into really felonious behavior as a youngster, like, you know, driving drunk. That's a really stupid decision. That's a bad one. You know, you can go to jail, or you could hurt somebody really bad, or you kill yourself. I mean, who hasn't done that, like, at least a couple dozen times? So, you know, check me off for that one too. Although I make a policy of not doing that anymore, but they didn't have Uber when I was 19. So what choice was there? Right. I mean, taxi cabs are like $20. Fuck that. We took taxis a few times. We'd get in one of those big taxi buses. I don't know if you've ever been in one of those before.
Yeah, it's like, I know you're talking about.
Yeah, it's like this giant van and like 12 dudes all pile in and like everyone's drunk and smelly. And one time we were in there and, the girl I was dating at the time, her sister-in-law, the lady married to her brother, got sick. She was out with us drinking and partying and just got entirely too sick. And she actually threw up in my girlfriend's friend's purse. It was like a Michael Kors or something like that, yacked all in this girl's purse in this like taxi cab, this huge taxi cab like van on the way home, just puked all in this girl's purse. I'm not sure if she had it dry cleaned or just threw it away, but I felt really bad. Probably threw it away. I cut my own hair as a really young, I was 27, but I'm also like pretty severely retarded. So cut my own hair. That was pretty dumb.
How bad was it?
When I cut my own hair? Oh, man. I looked as retarded as I was. Damn.
Oh, man.
It was a bunch of dumb shit, man. I mean, just a bunch of dumb shit. You know, just trying to get everybody pregnant. Everybody that would hold still for 5 minutes, try to get them pregnant. Driving, driving drunk.
Anybody?
Drugs. Just random people just in the street. Anybody. I try to get the mannequin at JCPenney pregnant if it held still long enough. If they didn't have cameras, they would never have caught me.
Oh, man. Question number four.
Yes. I'm ready.
If you can give yourself from the past any advice to help yourself in the present, what would it be?
Yeah. So the obvious idea is like invest in certain things, like buy a whole bunch of stock in Apple in like 2002 or something like that. Definitely don't be in the World Trade Center on the morning of September 11th, 2001. Would be another useful piece of advice. Maybe not quite as profitable, but
you wasn't there.
I wasn't there. Yeah.
So then you would give yourself that advice.
That'd be really pretty shitty advice. If I only got to give myself like one, I couldn't sit down and give myself like an hour's worth of advice. I just got like one sentence, like don't go anywhere near the World Trade Center, but I wasn't going to be there anyway. That would be a pretty big waste of that opportunity.
Yeah. That would be a huge waste. I would probably say you can tell somebody, hey, you might want to tell them about that. Yeah. So you can prevent it. Your response is, don't be nowhere during the World Trade Center.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to be there anyway.
Yeah. It's sort of like telling myself, like, definitely join the Union Army in the Civil War. You want to be on the right side of history, buddy. Don't join the Rebel Army in the Civil War. It's not going to look good in 150 years. You know what I mean? Yeah. Except I wasn't alive back then, so
that'd be a huge problem.
That would be a huge problem. So it kind of prevented me from fighting in that conflict altogether. I would tell myself, I don't know. I would tell myself about my wife. So I wouldn't wind up dating all them trashy ladies that I dated before. My wife thinking like she could be the one, like, let me give her a chance. You know what I'm saying? I would just shut all that shit down. It would save me a lot of herpes, a lot of cold sores, a lot of gonorrhea and syphilis treatments, just a lot of, you know, coming home, sweaty dudes in my apartment, butt naked. You know what I'm saying?
So well, if I was you knew, sweaty dudes in your apartment, butt naked.
I mean, it's a little embarrassing. It's a little embarrassing, but
you party naked, yeah. I guess.
Shit does happen when you party naked. And, you know, you just don't want to walk in on that. I'm just saying you could tell yourself like, hey, this is the lady to look out for. She's the right one. You know what I'm saying? You don't need to get married a first time. That's just why do that? Why put yourself through that? You know what I'm saying? So I might would go back and like save myself a little bit of trouble and like go do that.
Okay. Like that answer. Question.
Or just
five.
Tell myself to bet on the World Series or some shit like that and make $1 billion.
That could work too. Question number five. Walking Dead happens. Zombie apocalypse.
Ooh, fuck.
You got to pick five things to take with you to go on the road to survive. Your family doesn't count. Your family obviously just gets in the truck or car with you and they're good. Okay. Pets don't count as well. They can get in the truck, car with you, they're good.
Okay.
What five things you're taking out to the world to survive?
Yeah, because we're gonna need to eat that fucking pet before long. I got a fat cat too. That fucker's going to be good. He's going to be delicious. I'm going to get fucking hungry as shit, and I'm going to be looking at him like, sorry, bud, you got to go. I'm pretty sure I've been to China. I'm pretty sure I've already eaten you motherfuckers before, so this is nothing new to me. I'm about
I
to eat a cat.
I have several questions about this.
I don't give
How fast
a fuck.
Do you think resources are going to go out before you have to eat your cat? That's
I don't
be
know.
Years, probably.
I, well,
your first reaction is, well, Yes, I gotta eat this cat.
Yeah, yeah, it's the zombie apocalypse. Well, I guess I'm gonna have to fuck the cat in the ass. Like, what? Like, what? Jesus. How do you conclude?
It's been 3 days. What are you doing?
It's been a day and a half. The government radioed. They said they're on their way. Why are you fucking the cat? We have to fuck the cat. I'm sorry. We just have to fuck the cat. I would. I don't know, man. I need to hunker down. Like, a serious answer is that I'm a type 1 diabetic. I need insulin, and I need I need a lot of insulin to last me many, many years. Unless we can get to the insulin factory and somehow keep it running, producing new insulin. Because the problem is, once I run out of insulin, I'm done after about a year. You know what I mean? And it's going to be kind of a shitty year. But then it's like, oh, I'm fucked. Like, I'm zombie food at that point. No amount of fucking the cat will bring me back. Yeah. So I gotta go with a shit ton, just a whole, like, several pharmacies worth of, I'm leaving all the opioids behind, but I'm going to grab all the insulin I can, all the test strips and needles and shit. Nobody's going to grab that shit from the pharmacy. Everybody that busts into the pharmacy is getting drugs, right? They're going to try to get, like, bricks. They're going to try to get all that weight they couldn't get your hands on before the zombie apocalypse, thinking, I'm just going to get high as fuck before I get eaten. I won't even know what's going on. I'll wake up as a zombie and I'll still be fucking cracked out of my fucking mind, like meth head. Like, I'll be the only meth head zombie, like Oxycontin fucking zombie. But I'm going to go get all the insulin, all the test strips, all the diabetes supplies I can. I'm going to need to get like a generator and get all the gas I can find. Okay. Too.
So a generator, insulin.
Yeah. And then I got to get a refrigerator to keep the insulin cold. That's why I got the generator to power the refrigerator. So I'm already three items in.
Okay. That's good. I like that. I like your thinking so far.
Yeah. So I'm just thinking, like, long-term, because, you know, then I guess you just load up a van and you just try to hoof it north, as far north as you can go, because, you know, you can stay warm, but those zombies, they're not going to stay warm. They're going to freeze. So the colder the climate is, I think the better you're going to do in general, because zombies won't have a whole lot of time during the summer to move around. You know what I mean? But they'll be like frozen all winter. And then you could just go pick them off, like, all winter. You could just go and you could just hit them on the head with the baseball bat, and the head would, like, shatter like T-1000 in Terminator 2. When he hasta la vista, baby, shoots me just like into a billion pieces. You just do that to all the zombie heads when they freeze outside. And that's how you spend. It's like becomes a new Christmas tradition in the zombie apocalypse world, that you're like, oh, go get your baseball bat. We're going to go crush zombie skulls for Christmas, kids. Yay. Aren't you glad you're not Jewish? They don't get to do this. Yay. Only the Christian families crush zombie heads. So, yeah. So we're going to need like baseball bats and hockey sticks. Oh, okay. And stuff like
that's that four. Baseball bat.
Yeah, that's number four. Yeah, I guess number five, I feel like maybe you should pick some guns, because you might need to defend yourself against like wild animals or other human beings that want to fuck your cat also.
Yes. This, like, cat is a hot commodity, apparently.
Yeah. So like the roving bands of marauders are going to be like, we want your kids and your cat, cause we're going to fuck them. And I'm going to be like, don't fuck my kids or my cat. Those are my kids and my cat. And I'm not going to let you fuck them. So I don't know. I mean, maybe like a rocket launcher to blow people up. Want to fuck my cat. Launcher? Yeah. I think a rocket launcher would, I think that would set the appropriate don't fuck with me kind of vibe. Like, you might not even have to shoot it. You just show up with it and be like, do you want to, I mean, it might not even be loaded. Do you want to find out? Like, I'm going to fire it at you and you're either going to live or you're going to explode violently. Do you want to roll the dice on this? And so I'm thinking, like, yeah, like a rocket launcher, like Commando, the Arnold Schwarzenegger movie. Oh, speaking of which, I could just go to Home Depot and I could get like a pallet full of the buzzsaw blades, you know, the buzzsaw blades. And you saw how he did in Commando. He just throws it at the dude and it just like lops off the top of the motherfucker's head. You know what I'm saying? Yes, that could be exactly so much fun. Like, you could just be throwing them at everybody, just psh, 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 and like cutting zombie heads off, and like dudes that want to fuck your kids and your cats heads off, like just the top of their heads. So it's like their brains are all exposed and shit. That'd be fucking cool. I'd be really good at throwing them things after a little while. You just practice all day and it's all in the wrist. It's like a frisbee that can take part of your head off. So I think that's what I'm going with. Fuck a bazooka, although I almost went with the bazooka.
Okay. Have you ever seen the video? You listen to rap, right?
Mm. Yes, sir.
There's a video out there. Anybody who listens to this podcast should look this video up. Rapper Royce da 5'9". You ever heard of him?
I am familiar with the gentleman.
Okay. He did a video. It wasn't a rap video. He was in beef. And I think it was with Benzino, if I'm correct. It might have been Benzino. But in the video, he's like, the guy's like, I guess the guy threatened him. He's like, you talking about shooting me? I got a rocket launcher. And he pulls out a rocket launcher, and he's dancing with a rocket launcher, threatening the guy.
I love the idea that he's dancing with a rocket launcher. I love it. I fucking love it. I'm actually looking up. I want to find a GIF or a GIF. Don't hit me. Internet, don't at me. I said GIF. I said GIF. Whatever you call it. I'm looking for him with the rocket launcher because I'm going to start sending that GIF to people.
It is crazy and it's hilarious at the same time.
Fuck yeah. It was a Benzino diss, apparently. Apparently it's a Benzino diss.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, he's like holding a rocket launcher. He looks so happy, too. He looks he's like, it's like his, like the, you know, every Christmas when you're a kid and you get that wonderful gift and you're just like so excited. Like he looks like, look what I got standing around me, a rocket launcher. I'm going to kill Benzino with it.
Yeah, what you, Benzino. Rocket launcher. It's the craziest thing I've ever seen in rap.
Dude, that's what's up, though, because like it always has to escalate, right? I mean, you always have to like one up the person. You always have to be like, oh, well, he hit me, so I stabbed him, and so I stabbed him, so he shot me, and he shot me, so I burned his house down, and I burned his house down, so he went and, I don't know, got a rocket launcher and blew my whole apartment complex up. You know what I'm saying? You always one up. So it only makes sense that it eventually comes to a point where the dude has a rocket launcher.
Yes, I agree. That's how
any conflict. Any conflict, if given enough time, will eventually escalate to the point where at least one person has a rocket launcher. I firmly believe that. That's why you shouldn't argue with your wife, people. Anyone listening, don't argue with your wife, because eventually that if that conflict escalates far enough, she will cut your penis off. Yes. But she'll think about shooting you with a rocket launcher while she cuts your dick off.
Yeah. Very true. Words to live by. So if anybody hasn't noticed, Jason's podcast is not exactly safe for work, so let me know what it's about.
y'all thought this was a Bible podcast? I'm so sorry. Did I ruin that for you? You guys thought the Delvin Cox experience was going to be, we were going to maybe say a prayer together. We're going to talk about ending world hunger, volunteering. Nope. Unfortunately, we're going to say some bad words. You have an explicit podcast, though. I listened to it. I heard some people on your podcast before, the Bearded Idiots and all them.
Yeah, my podcast is explicit when explicit people comes on it. Usually, I try to keep it PG.
Oh shit! I fucked that up.
No. But I'm also a type of person who wants people to be their true selves.
Yeah.
So I'm not gonna censor anybody who comes on the podcast. You want to fucking cuss, knock yourself out, because it's like, ooh, I know some podcasts do. You gotta kind of keep it PG so everybody can listen to it. No, sometimes people have to be honest and be their true selves. And your true self is cussing and fucking cats. Well,
yeah,
that's who you are.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important to get to know somebody, including if they fuck a cat. I don't really fuck a cat. I just joke about fucking a cat. I mean, I haven't fucked a cat yet, but we just see what everyone's made of when the zombie apocalypse occurs. And the real cat fuckers are going to come out. I'm just saying. I'm just saying.
As you said, in day three of the zombie apocalypse.
It's been day one and a half. We haven't actually seen an actual zombie yet, but he's still fucking the cat. I don't believe him. Part of his process, I guess. It's like the grief process. Yeah, man, I keep it real. And like, I think I find things more entertaining when people don't pull any punches on what they say. And they say things that might be unexpected. Like, who expected me to talk about fucking a cat within the first 5 minutes of the show? I don't think anybody did. And so I think that's part of like what makes things funny and amusing, entertaining for people to listen to, is sort of like, what the fuck is he going to say next? And it's funny. If we're having, I just don't think I'm as capable of having a very interesting PG conversation that's not like super work related, I guess. Like if we were having a meeting about outcomes analysis for A1C data for like a particular pediatric diabetic population, then I could probably have a long conversation, but it'd be boring as fuck too. You know, you'd be looking for your cat.
So let me ask you this.
Yes, yes, yes.
How did this podcast start? What did the idea from this podcast come from? What's the genesis of it?
Yeah, I've been told my whole life, people would say, you have a wonderful voice and you never shut the fuck up. You should do radio. And I'm like, you've got a point. I do like to talk and I should do radio. And I never did radio. I don't know why. Maybe I lacked confidence. I don't know. But I never did. And I did other things instead. All that dumb shit that I mentioned, getting drunk, throwing up in Michael Kors purses, in a taxi cab, coming home from University of Georgia at 3 a.m. when you're just shit-faced drunk, way drunker than you should be. You don't have any business being that drunk. That was kind of, you know, that was my life for a little while. I did bodybuilding for a long time, competitive bodybuilding for a long time. And that was kind of my thing instead of podcasting. That was pretty cool. Like, you know, you ate a lot, you lifted weights a lot. It's good for narcissists like me. So you like hearing yourself talk. Chances are you like looking at yourself in the mirror. And by you, I mean me. So it was up my alley. I was like 270 pounds, which I don't really miss being that big anymore. Like that was kind of uncomfortable at times, especially flying, like those airplane bathrooms. I mean, try taking a protein shit in an airplane bathroom. You're 35,000 feet high, above the earth. And, you know, you're trying to squeeze sideways into this bathroom so that you can poop because you just eat way too much protein in general. It's just terrible. It's god awful. It's so uncomfortable. So
let me ask you this. What does it take? Because since you brought it up, we might want to talk about this a little bit.
Of course.
What does it take to get that bodybuilder bod? Like, it seems like it's a lot of work. That's not worth it.
It's a full-time job, and it is questionably worth it. I agree with you. It's a lot of work. Like, it's a lot of eating. It's a lot of lifting. You pretty much got to lift, like, not every day, because you need some time to rest. But, like, most folks do 5 or 6 days a week of lifting. And that was me. I was probably doing 5 to 6 days per week of lifting. Like, I would lift 2 days or 3 days on and then 1 day off. So either 2 or 3 days I would lift. And then I would take a day off to kind of rest my muscles a little bit. And it's just, it's very like when you're not lifting, you're cooking. And when you're not lifting or cooking, you're trying to sleep so that you can like grow more. And, you know, so it's kind of fun. It's kind of fun. Like, admittedly, it's kind of fun being in public somewhere and people be like, oh shit, did you see that motherfucker? Holy shit, that dude is huge, you know? So that was kind of fun. I mean, there was the like, I guess if you like attention, and I kind of like attention, then it's rewarding in that sense. But then, like, just the amount of food you got to eat.
Very competitive.
Ass would be raw. You poop like 4 times a day. And if you like to be clean like I do, it's like, oh, you know, your asshole would just hurt some days. And, you know, there's in the high level competitive area of bodybuilding, which of course I did. I was like on stage, oiled up, greased up. I'll show you some pics sometime. I was like all oiled up and greased up and like shave all my hair and shit like that in the little bikini bottoms for the dude, the little banana hammock. And I would like get up on stage and like, you know, do the competitions and shit. And so, you know, that involves a number of unhealthy habits, let's say. Okay. There was some performance-enhancing drug usage.
I was just going to ask that.
Oh, yeah. Dude, that was everywhere. It was all over. So you get really good at like, oh, yeah, that dude's on steroids. It's like, oh, totally. Like, don't even fuck with me. I can totally look and I can tell. Like, don't bullshit me, man. Like, you can lie to your grandma about it, but you can't lie to me about it. And then, like, all the, like, dehydrating yourself and all the weird, like, cyclical carbohydrate diets and shit. So at the end of it, like, it was fun. I'm glad I did it. But at the same time, like, I think going that hard on it is not good for the body. Like, I don't think dehydrating yourself for a contest, I don't think using boatloads of steroids is good for you. I don't think being 270 pounds, even though it's all muscle, I don't think being 270 pounds is, it's not healthy for your heart. Your heart still has to pump blood through that whole body and shit. And left ventricular hypertrophy is a big thing with weightlifters, even ones that don't use steroids. So, I mean, I'm just saying, like, a lot of people are very cavalier about that shit when they're younger. And it's like, I'm pushing 40 now. And I'm like, man, I just want to live.
So what was your experiences like with in that environment with steroids around?
Yeah, I mean, dude, there was gear everywhere, man. It was, on the one hand, it's awesome. But then, you know, you, like your first couple of years, it's like, fuck yeah, this is awesome. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, oh, I mean, everything you hear about them, it's true. So beautiful. So wonderful. You know, in a lot of ways, because like, I'm fucking ripped. I'm recovering from the gym really quickly. I'm able to go lift weights. Like, I'm throwing shit over my head. I'm like, you know, and then it feeds into the attention piece too, because people really do kind of like turn their head at you. Yeah. But, you know, like, it's just, I think people, like, you do it for a while and you get kind of a little older and you hang around long enough and you start watching people get like sick and like people die. And you're just like, holy shit, this dude dies at 36 and it's from heart failure. And you're just like, holy fuck, like, my 85-year-old grandpa died of heart failure. Like, that shit's not supposed to happen to 36-year-old dudes that are like 50 years young. They're like 50 years too young to be dying of heart failure and shit. And a lot of dudes will say, oh, well, they had a congenital defect that was in their family or whatever. It was like hereditary. But I'm like, yo, even though his dad had the same shit, his dad at least made it to 65. Like, dude died 30 years younger than his own dad. Like, you can't tell me that's not steroid abuse and being 280 pounds that are contributing to this cardiovascular morbidity. And so, I mean, I spend too much time in university studying like the actual physiology of, I mean, I'm a nutrition science master student, but you know, you kind of study all the shit that can go wrong with all the organ systems, and you just hear about people keeling over and having all sort of like nasty side effects, and you're just like, fuck that. Heard about a dude whose dick stopped working. Dick just stopped working. Like, I'm guessing he could still pee, but like, he couldn't do anything extracurricular with that dick. And I'm like, why? You know what I mean? Like, you want to look huge and you want to be like ripped and sexy and get attention, especially from women. A lot of these young guys, they get started in it because they're like, I want to be ripped up like these comic book heroes, like Arnold Schwarzenegger, and he always pulls all the pussy. So let me get ripped up like him. But then your dick stops working. Ooh, you don't want that. It's not worth it if you're doing this whole thing just to meet women and then your dick stops working. Like, defeats the purpose.
Yeah.
So that never happened to me. I got a baby on the way. So
congratulations.
That did not happen to me, obviously. Well, I guess if you accept that child is mine, then, you know, you also have to accept that that I did not manage to destroy my penis, but I knew a guy who did.
Wow, that's crazy. I was going to ask you two questions, and I guess that's part of one of them. I was going to ask you, what was your best moment bodybuilding?
Yeah, so best moment bodybuilding, I won the overall at my second competition for, like, they have different levels. So if you're really, really new to bodybuilding, you don't have to compete against people who've been doing it for like 8 or 10 years, because obviously that's one of the things where you get better as you progress. Like, the more time you spend doing it, the better you look. Typically, in general, if you don't take a long period of time off, you can look better after you've been training for a little while. So it's kind of unfair to compete against really experienced dudes. So they would have different levels. And so I was in like the second level. It's like the junior level. And I won the overall for that. So that was a good moment. That felt good. That felt nice. I have a really cool trophy from that. Unfortunately, it's in my former studio at home. I moved to this new studio and I don't have my trophies here, but it's cool. It's like a Arnold Schwarzenegger trophy, and he's like doing this cool like Arnold move, like got his arms up and looking all ripped and shit. So, you know, I get to show that to my kids one day, and that'll be pretty cool. So that was a good bodybuilding moment. I think bodybuilding, like podcasting, you meet all sort of people. So you go to these contests and there's like 1,000 people and they come from other places in the region. Like, I would go compete in Boston, New York, Atlanta. So I did a lot of East Coast competition, but all up and down the East Coast, you know, like New York, was a big one. I did the big one in Boston, did a couple in Atlanta, and you just meet all sort of cool people too. So it's not like one big defining moment, but over time it's like, wow, I've got this really cool circle of people, and they're all kind of different folks, because bodybuilding attracts all types. You know what I mean? It's like there's a very diverse group of people that now I'm friends with that I would not have been friends with if I hadn't gotten into this type of activity. So that was kind of like a cool aspect of that as well.
So what was the dark side of bodybuilding? Because you said it got you seeing people's penis not working is one big part of it.
Yeah, that's a big dark side. I mean, because definitely like the type of bodybuilding I did was like the upper levels. Like they have natural federations for bodybuilding too. Those tend to be, I mean, let's face it, the dudes get really ripped for the natty bodybuilding, but they look like swimmers. You know what I mean? They look like Michael Phelps. They're lean as fuck. They're ripped as shit, but they don't have that like big kind of like swollen full muscles where the muscles like pop off your bones and they look like round and full. And that's a look that you can really only achieve with drugs, unfortunately. I mean, that's why the natty guys never look quite as impressive, especially when you throw a sweatshirt on these guys. Like, it's Boston, it's wintertime, dudes be wearing a sweatshirt, and you'd get the idea that they were generally fit, but you couldn't tell how ripped they were. But like these guys, these bodybuilder dudes in the untested federations where I competed, like you could tell these dudes were fucking ripped. They could be wearing like 8 layers, and you'd just be like, fuck, that dude is huge underneath all of that. Like 8 sweatshirts, you could still tell because he's got like traps up to his fucking ears and shit like that. And just ridiculous shit. But yeah, that was the dark side. Was like, once you got into the drugs, it was like, I'll start off with just a little testosterone. I'll just do a little testosterone replacement therapy because I'm like, I'm getting into my 30s. And so my testosterone's not what it was when I was like 19 or 20. So now I just need to use a little bit. And then, oh, I'll pop a little D-ball too while I'm at it. And then like smash cut a year later and you're like, I don't give a fuck what this is. It's like illegal rhinoceros steroids smuggled in from the Horn of Africa. I don't give a fuck. I'm going to inject it in me because it's going to make me bigger and more ripped. And it turns into like an arms race. Like, you know, everybody just like, how much shit can you get? How much shit can you afford? How much shit can you like push through you before you die? And it's like, what gets away from it is like people get into it because they want to be more healthy. People want to lift weights and they start going to it. Like when you sign up to a gym when you're 15 or when you're 20 or whatever, you're thinking like, man, I'm gonna get healthy. This is gonna be good. But then a couple years go by of all the competing and you're just like, fuck, I'm not healthy at all. Like I'm eating McDonald's 4 times a week because it's easy to get 4,000 calories in. And I'm injecting racehorse steroids and like I can lift heavy weight, but like I can't run. I can't go jogging. Like it'll fuck my knees up or I'll be out of breath or some shit because I'm 270 pounds. So eventually it's like, wow, whatever you get into it for, the health reasons, the health benefits and shit, just like fly out the window for the sake of competition. So like I think weightlifting is fun. I still lift weights I don't lift them every day like I used to, but I lift weights a couple times a week, but like that shit is still fun, but the idea that you're just gonna like chase this, you just want to get like as huge as you can and by any means necessary. And it's like, wow, it's really not healthy. Like, no wonder these guys die at 50 and shit, you know?
It's crazy that you say that because people don't necessarily connote like exercising with not being healthy. But bodybuilding is one of those types of things that you can overdo.
Oh, for sure. For sure. It's easy to overdo. The whole thing is about excess. It's all about having like excessive amounts of muscle. So like being a normal 185, 190 pound human being is like that. It's not desirable anymore. You know what I mean? Like I would look back at pictures of myself when I was doing a bunch of martial arts as like a teenager. I'd be like 18, 19. I'd look at pictures and be like, God damn, I was tiny. Like I was fit, I was in good shape, I exercised every day, but I was like, ah, I'm so tiny, you know? But it was all about like how heavy could I get? How much muscle could I put on? The whole thing was about excess. And I think when you start trying to be that excessive, it obviously it takes you to like obsessive places and unhealthy places where you're like, now I just need to accumulate muscle mass and it doesn't matter how I do it. So of course you stop looking at healthy behaviors too. Like I should go for a jog and I should eat a salad and I don't need it. Maybe 270 pounds is a little bit big for a human being. Like you don't really think of it that way. You just think like, I got to get to this next competition and shit all over these motherfuckers that stand next to me. Those poor bastards that have to stand next to me. I feel so sorry for, cause I'm going to be like so much bigger than them and shit like that. And it's like, you're not thinking about the health shit anymore. You're just thinking, all right, how am I going to get 4,000 calories in today? I know I'm going to go get some McDoubles, you know, like that shit ain't healthy, like eating McDoubles. So I'm glad I'm past that.
Yeah, that's good. That's really
good. I'm glad to be beyond that because I feel healthier now. I'm not as big as I used to be. I'm about 50 pounds. Actually, now that we started the Slimmer Circle thing, I'm like 55, 60 pounds lighter than I used to be, but I feel healthier. Like I can breathe. I could take a shit in an airplane bathroom. You know, I still try not to, but like I can fit in the door. So
do you think, because you don't look like a big person, stature wise, do you think your bodybuilding stuff helped you get your diabetes in a sense?
No, I actually started the bodybuilding after the diabetes thing. So I got diagnosed with diabetes pretty shortly after I started. I kind of transitioned from doing martial arts to like weightlifting more and doing a little bit more bodybuilding. And that was about the time I was diagnosed. So when I was first diagnosed with diabetes, I was like really worried that I wouldn't be able to bodybuild. So part of it was like, I also wanted to prove that I could do it. And I probably didn't have any, I mean, I would say to any diabetic that hears this, like, don't, you know, insulin and diabetes is enough. Like that's enough of a cardiovascular risk that you don't need to be piling on other shit, like being 270 pounds and using steroids and shit. So that was probably not a great combination of health risk factors for a few years there.
See, that's interesting because you said you were a smaller person and you got diabetes as a smaller person. And normally when you hear diabetes, you think of a person who may be overweight or getting overweight or somehow some way unhealthy. That's the kind of thing that comes with. But you were generally a healthy person. So how do you think?
Yeah, with type 1 diabetes, the etiology of type 1 is an autoimmune disorder. So like kids get diabetes type 1 when kids get it used to be called juvenile diabetes because it was the prevalent type of diabetes that was seen in young people like 12, 13 years old. So you've got to think that if little kids can get it, then it's probably not based around a lifestyle of unhealthy behaviors. So what they found is that the type 1 etiology is that the beta cells in the pancreas are destroyed by the immune system. The immune system doesn't recognize them as being part of you. It actually responds to them as if they were like a foreign, like a bacteria or a virus or something, and takes them out, destroys them. So those are the cells that produce insulin. And once those are sufficiently destroyed, your body can no longer produce insulin. And so your blood sugars go up, 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 because there's no insulin to help relieve that glucose out of the bloodstream. So that's how kids get it. You know, it's like your immune system kind of fucks up and decides, fuck you, pancreas, I'm gonna fuck you up. And so the immune system goes and fucks your pancreas up, and then you have to inject insulin. So that is how people who are very young and even people who are like relatively slender can be diagnosed with diabetes. It usually happens in young people. I happened to be 25 when I was diagnosed. I think it was 25, 24 or 25. So I was a little older actually than most when I was diagnosed with type 1.
So how have you been dealing with having diabetes? Because a lot of people don't know how diabetes affected by, they hear like the jokes and stuff like off of South Park and the fat guy, I have diabetes and stuff like that. They don't really know how it affects you in terms of, one, the medicine is expensive as hell.
Yeah, it can be. Yeah. If you don't have good insurance, for sure. Like and insulin's getting a lot of attention now for being as expensive as it is. Like Colorado just passed a law that caps the retail price of insulin. So that's a move to try to help prevent people from getting fucked by like $600 insulin bill and shit like that. So, and I hear crazy shit, like I'll get on the news and look at the news and see this shit, like some kid died because he was 27. He couldn't be on his parents' insurance anymore. He didn't have insurance of his own, and he couldn't afford his insulin. So he just like didn't take it until he died, which will happen. But also you can get insulin at Walmart. So there's like a Relyon brand of insulin. So I usually tell most diabetics, like, go get the Walmart brand. It's not the best stuff in the world, but it's $24 for a vial. You might use one or two vials per month. So like $50 a month will keep you alive. And I would say generally that's worth it. So you don't need any insurance. You don't need a prescription. You can just go get Walmart insulin for $25 a vial, two vials a month, $50 a month will like keep you breathing. I used it for a few years when I was uninsured, when I first moved up to Boston and I didn't have any insurance. So I went to Walmart to use the Walmart insulin. It's not the best insulin in the world, but it's what I had. And I like breathing. So I was like, fuck it. I'm going to use the cheap shit. I'm going to use the Walmart shit for a few years. But yeah, definitely like insulin's pretty pricey. And if you're a good diabetic, you should be careful about like what you eat and try to eat healthfully and try to eat, try to spread your carbohydrate intake evenly throughout the day. So there's some dietary strategies that can help manage diabetes. Obviously eating less of like the high glycemic processed carbohydrates, eating more like whole natural stuff for your carbs, like choosing fruit or whole grains for carbs is a good way to go. And, taking your meds, seeing your doctor, doing some exercise is pretty good for it. Specifically cardiovascular exercise. Weight training is not as good for diabetes as cardiovascular exercise is. So like going for a walk or a jog or something like that is pretty good, way to like lower your blood sugar. So doing that every day, like, I know some diabetics who like, they'll go for walks every day, and I try to do some cardio and some yoga and stuff like that in addition to weight training. So like I'll do some cardio before and after I strength train, even on the days that I lift weights. So like, you know, it's all pretty normal stuff. It's kind of easy to forget you're diabetic sometimes because, you know, you still have like a normal life. And so far I don't have a diabetes face tattoo or anything, so nobody can really tell half the time.
We have been talking for 45 minutes and we haven't talked about your podcast yet.
Holy
Let's get
shit.
Into the podcast.
Man, I haven't hit any of my beats on my note card either. See my note card? I got your, I wrote your name
Jason
on it.
Actually, the only person who wrote notes and things for the show.
I like to come prepared. To me, I feel like it's sort of like, that's how I show you respect. You know what I mean? It's like, I respect Delvin's time. I don't want to waste his time. So I don't want to come on here and just be like, I don't know. What do you want to do? You know what I mean? Because I think funny things, at least I think funny things, which is why I started a podcast so that I could say the funny things that I think. But I thought as long as I'm thinking funny things, I might as well write them down so that I won't forget to say them when I'm on Delvin's show. So I can't believe we've been talking for 45 minutes.
We've had a great conversation.
Holy shit.
You started this when you brought the bodybuilding thing and everything.
Yes.
Kind of fell in line. So that's awesome.
Yeah. It just happens. Sometimes it just spills out of me. I'm just like, And just words come out. I'm pretty good at just chatting, just talking.
It's been great.
Constant talk. That's why I started a podcast.
You got to read some of that stuff off that card, by the way, now. Since you done brought
it
up.
Oh, yeah, I do. Actually, one of the things I was reading in news this morning. One of the things, did you hear about the cops in Utah? There's a cop in Utah he's getting some heat right now. I mean, he's a police officer, so of course. This Utah cop pointed his gun at a 10-year-old.
Jeez.
Yeah, I couldn't believe that. So today I learned that black people live in Utah. I was like, wow, okay. I mean, I've been to Utah once or twice, but you know, I lived in the South. I lived in Georgia. I'm from Atlanta. So like, for me, it's a very diverse place. You get used to seeing all different people. Yeah.
Like, Georgia definitely is.
Yeah. Like there's plenty of black and Hispanic folk in Georgia. So you get used to, you know, you go to school with people, you work with people. It's like, and Utah, I just think Mormons. I just think Mormons and like Sundance and skiing.
Only black person I've known that was in Utah was Karl Malone.
Yeah. There you go. And, you know, they had to hire him to play basketball, right? I mean, did he live there before the basketball thing? No. So
he lived in South.
Yeah. So the cop in Utah is getting a little heat because it's like, yeah, he's 10. You probably don't need to blow his brains out. That's, you know,
and he probably found the only black person that he could find in that area and aims a gun at him. That's amazing.
That actually is kind of what happened, actually, from what I read in the article. Because they were looking for a suspect who had there were shots fired in this, I don't know where they were, but somebody had fired some shots, and so they were looking for the guy. They were like chasing the suspect and they were looking for him. And the description was that the suspect was black. So that's kind of what he did. He was like, well, where's a black guy? And oh, there's one. Freeze. Oh, you're 10. Okay, never mind. They said that like as soon as he realized the guy wasn't the one he was looking for, he's like, oh my God, this is a 10-year-old. He holstered his gun, he apologized and moved on. So, I mean, at least he wasn't like, he didn't persist with his mistake. Yeah. At least he realized he made a mistake and said, okay, I'm very sorry. You know, it still feels kind of like, well, you found the first black guy you could find and pointed a gun at him. I mean, forget the fact that he's 10. I mean, I'm guessing your suspect is probably an adult. You're probably looking for someone older than 10. Yes. So like you might want to describe him a little bit more. Like the description should probably be like, well, he's not going to be 4'9" because he's going to be 30. Right. So he's not going to be, you're looking for a guy who's taller than this, you know?
Yeah.
So, but that was pretty incredible when I read that earlier. I was like, holy shit, man, you guys, I mean, even in the Mormon states, you guys are just not doing yourselves any favors.
Yeah. I've said this before. I'm going to say this again. White people are constantly making white people look bad.
Yeah. I mean, I think the thing is when you got like billions of people in whatever group you're looking at, it's pretty easy to find some like shitty examples and be like, God damn it, man. Come on. Can we not hold it together for a couple of weeks? Like, oh, imagine being a cop the last couple of years too. Like you'd be a cop and like you're a good cop and you're nice to people and you know, you never point your gun at 10-year-olds and shit like that. And then you see the shit on the news and you're just like, Jesus Christ, man, you know, I gotta go to work tomorrow. I gotta wear this uniform. What the fuck, man? People are gonna be throwing shit at my car.
Oh yeah.
Like literal shit in their hands. They're gonna smear shit on my squad car. You know, they're gonna piss themselves in the back of my squad car when I arrest them. So I don't know, man. I'm glad I'm not a cop, though.
I'll put it to you this way. My brother's a cop.
Oh, really?
And he can never come on this podcast.
No shit.
Yeah.
Just because he's a cop or is just...
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
It told him specifically he can't come on this podcast because of the cop, because of how situations is with cops. I was like, I told him before you can come on and defend cops. And you know, I can't do it.
Yeah, I mean... Like, there's a lot of cops out there when you think about it. You think about like all the municipalities. If we're just talking about United States, I won't look at other countries because I don't know how they do their policing and stuff over there. But like there's all the different cities. You got the city cops and then all the different counties. You got sheriffs and their deputies. You got state police enforcement, you know, law enforcement agencies. Then you've got like federal levels. You've got the FBI and stuff like that. Like, holy shit, there's just a lot of fucking when you think about it, there's a lot of fucking cops out there. There's a lot of fucking cops out there.
A lot of people with a lot of responsibility and a lot of people who have that responsibility probably shouldn't have that responsibility.
Hmm.
And I'll be first to tell you, like, being a cop is not an easy job.
I bet.
Whatsoever. Like, you know, it's a lot of pressure. You don't know if you're going to come home or not.
Yeah.
The danger that lies into it. But at the same time, you have to be responsible with that power.
Yeah, because you might accidentally put your gun to a 10-year-old's head, and that doesn't look good on the news. Like,
yes,
the next day you're in the newspaper, and you got your head, you know, he's got his, like, Fisher Price, you know, he's on his, like, big wheels or something, and you got your gun to his head, and that doesn't look good at all.
Especially in this climate. In this climate where everybody has a camera phone, everybody has a social media account.
Yep.
You have to be very aware of what you're doing and how you're doing things. And whether you're wrong or right, you know, you have to be aware of those things. Like, for example, which I was going to talk to you about earlier. We got like a good 10 more minutes. We can go into it.
Hell yeah.
It has to be hard to do your podcast as opposed to my podcast, because your podcast, you're uncensored, you're unfiltered, and you're going to say some shit that offends people.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's part of it. I actually got a nice little message on Instagram a few days ago telling me how disgusting I am. And I'm pretty sure he was being serious. But I was like, whatever. I mean, come on. It's not for everybody. I understand. It's like anchovies. Have you ever had anchovies?
No, they're disgusting.
No, I'm really upset.
I've had them when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what they were. And when you have anchovies as a kid on a pizza, you don't know what it is. It throws it completely off.
I gotta get a pizza with anchovies on it. I was told my whole life as a youngster, you'd be watching Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles or something like that, and they would crack some joke about like, ew, anchovies, no anchovies on the pizza, hold the anchovies. Oh, it's so gross. So you'd think your whole life, like, oh, anchovies must be really gross because they always talk about how gross anchovies are. And then as an adult, this was just a few years ago, maybe 3-4 years ago, I went to a restaurant and I got a Caesar salad and they put anchovies in the Caesar salad. And I was like, this is an anchovy? And I ate it and I was like, fuck, this is good. Like, I like this. It was like wicked salty. You can't just take like a whole mouthful of anchovies. You know what I mean? Yeah. So you got to just have like a little bit of anchovy kind of spread around with some other things. But I fucking loved this salad with the anchovies in it. I was like, holy shit. My whole life is a lie. My whole life is a lie. What fucking happened? I went 30 years, people telling me how nasty anchovies were. Meanwhile, they're fucking amazing. I'm so pissed. I want to sue somebody over that.
I think I would like them off of pizza. If I had them in a salad, I probably would like them.
Yeah.
But when you're that young, I probably was like 6 or 7.
Yeah, you're not ready expecting for
that taste. It throws it off.
6 or 7 year olds don't really have complex palates. You know, I mean, 6 or 7, I'm just like, give me fucking chicken nuggets or mac and cheese or fuck right off. I'm not eating it if it's not mac and cheese or chicken nuggets. So I kind of feel you. I probably would have hated them at 7 too. I tried them at like 30 and I was like, oh my God, this is incredible. You know, but I had an adult palate. I was already eating sushi and ass and all sorts of stuff. So, you know what I'm saying? But it is kind of tough because you're like, I'm going to say some things and they're not for everybody. But like the thing about me too, and I have had people like DM me and stuff after a podcast has landed and said, oh, well, I didn't really appreciate this. And this kind of offended me. And I always try to be like, I try to treat them like I treat my wife, which is not to say I smack the taste out of their mouth and say, bitch, get back in the kitchen. I try to be like, let me hear you. Like, let me listen. Let me hear what you have to say. Because like I set out to do a podcast to kind of express myself and hopefully make people laugh. Like I want to make people laugh and I want people to enjoy the show. And so if somebody says that they didn't enjoy it and they were offended, it's kind of like, well, let me take that seriously for a minute instead of just like brushing you off or being like, oh, well, fuck you then. Because that's a lot of people get defensive with their responses. Like they just say, oh, well, fuck you then. I don't care. I don't care what you think. You know, kiss my ass, suck my dick from the back, etc. But I try to like say, okay, well, I didn't set out to willfully offend people. I want to entertain people. And I understand that it's not going to be for everybody. Like I'm going to crack a few eggs to make this omelet. I call shit happens when you party naked. But at the same time, it's like if somebody was offended, I want to hear why. And I want to have an opportunity to think about maybe what offended them and if I could do it a little differently or if that type of thing was absolutely necessary to part of my self-expression or if I was just being a dick. You know what I mean? Like I'm trying to be as woke as I can. That's the right word for it. Woke? Woke? Yes. That's what the kids are saying. Woke?
Yes.
You know, I'm just kidding. But I do try to be like, you know, try to hear people. So it is kind of tough. It's like a little bit of a tightrope because some days I'm like, I just don't give a fuck. I'm going to go say whatever I want. I'm going to tell people how I'm happy about the straight pride parade. I want a straight pride parade. I voted for the straight pride parade. But then I'm like, nah, maybe I don't want to go offend people. I don't want to be willfully offensive. And actually, for the record, I did not. I put straight pride parade on here, too, because I thought that was an interesting thing. But I'm not in support of the straight pride parade.
I think the straight pride parade is one of the stupidest things I've ever seen in my life.
Dude, I heard people online bitching like Boston, you know, fuck all you people, boss. I'm like, dude, it's three guys. It's three guys. Boston has like a million motherfuckers in it. Like, how are you going to get mad at all of us for three dudes?
Not only that, have you ever seen a gay pride parade?
Yeah, I've been to a few. I went to one in New York a few years back. Well, like a decade back now. It was awesome.
There are some good looking people out there.
Like yeah, I went to Key West on New Year's twice. That's not officially a gay pride parade, but pretty fucking close. I mean, I love gay people. I got a ton of gay friends, and I feel like as a white dude, you got to be careful saying, I have a ton of blank friends, because I feel like
that is a fact.
If I have to start a sentence by saying I have a ton of gay friends, but like whatever comes after that, but like maybe don't say that. Like don't say that shit.
Like I have a ton of black friends. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, you're like, oh God, what's coming? What are you about to say, motherfucker? That's like, you just want to look at him and be like, are you sure you want to say this, motherfucker? Like, are you sure you want to? Like, if it starts with, yeah, I got a ton of black friends, but you're like, I don't want to hear what comes after that, but don't just, this is time to just be quiet. Keep it to yourself, motherfucker. So, I mean, it's like three dudes. They're just trying to get attention. I don't feel like all of Boston should be made to pay for this, but it's just three dudes trying to be shitty. And they have a history of setting up things like this, like little, like counter protests or protests or marches or walks or whatever. And they're all kind of like edgy, like we're going to sort of offend people a little bit no one ever shows up. I was reading a news article today talking about how there were more counter protesters than people that actually showed up in support of whatever event. So I'm guessing these three guys are going to organize this shit. 12 other people are going to show up. It's like, it's kind of like whipping up people's emotions, but it's like, fuck it. At the end of the day, it's going to be nothing. Like, no one's going to show up. It's no big deal. I just like to ignore people like that and move on.
Yes, because parades are boring.
I mean,
except gay parades. Gay parades seem like they have a lot of fun. They have a lot of fun at gay parades.
Yeah, they're all about having fun, you know? I don't want to go to a straight pride parade. What do you got to do at a straight pride parade anyway? Like, I want to go to a gay parade. I want flags everywhere. I want streamers. I want multicolored. I want everything like flying. I want people running around acting crazy. I don't want it like straight pride parade. What are they going to do? They're going to hand out Bibles and we're going to pray. I don't know. I don't know about that. You know, I don't know about that.
Yeah. That sounds trash. it's no other way to put it. That doesn't sound like fun at all.
No, I'm not going to be there. I live in Boston. I'm not going anywhere nearby. I'm going to say, fuck them. I'll go to the beach that day. I don't know. I'll make a lobster roll. I'll be wicked good.
Man, this has been great, man. Let them know where to find your podcast at before we go.
Yeah, man, of course. You can find my podcast by searching for Shit Happens When You Party Naked or Team Almy in any of your podcast players. Search for Team Almy or search for Shit Happens When You Party Naked. You can find me. I'm all over the place. Any podcast app you like to use, I promise I'm there. You can hit me up on socials at Party Naked Pod. Party Naked Pod. That's all of the socials. So you hit me up. I got a website, teamalme.com, ALME. It's M. M is in man. That's what I am. Yeah. Teamalme.com. And there's like links to all the podcast players on the website and stuff like that too. So if you just want to hit the website up from your cell phone, you can click a link on the website and it'll take you to your whatever player you like to use. And you can listen to my podcast and you can send me an email and tell me I suck and how offensive I am and tell me to fuck right off. And you heard me on the Delvin Cox show and you thought I was dumb and I looked stupid. I'm cool with all that. I got a pretty thick skin. That shit doesn't hurt me. I won't cry myself to sleep on nights that I get nasty emails from people telling me I suck. I'm not sensitive at all.
Oh, man. This has been great having you on, Albie, man. You're a good dude.
Yeah, man. Thank you for having me on. You're a good dude as well. I'm really glad that you came on and did Comedy is Dead 4, because that's the episode that I was doing too. So I was like, fuck yeah, man. Like, I'm totally going to get to interact with Delvin. I think, obviously getting new people with.
I got to tell that story, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
That story is great. I've mentioned this story on other podcasts, bro, but I think it's worth telling here.
Yeah.
How I got on that podcast was one of the weirdest words I've ever got on the podcast in my life.
No shit, it was weird? Somebody sent you a dick pic?
No, because you guys put me in a DM thread. All right, we're doing this podcast now.
No shit.
And no one has ever DM'd me a day in my life about Comedy is Dead or anything like that.
Oh, man. See, I thought somebody had spoken to you, maybe like Adam or Chris or somebody had said, hey, Delvin, this is a show we do. Would you be interested in joining?
No.
Because we want to like get all different people from all various podcasts and different networks. And, it's kind of like the closest thing we've got to a political show. So we don't want it to just be like all like, here's all the white people from the Inner Circle Podcast Network talking about political shit. It's like we want to have a variety of folks that Like it's not just the same people every week, and it's people from all over with all different points of view and shit. So I thought somebody like reached out to you, and
it was funny. It made me laugh. I said, "Fuck it, why not? I'll try." And I had a blast on doing it.
Yeah, man,
it was awesome.
Yeah, we're stoked you were there. I mean, it really, it kind of helped, because if it was just me and Dutchie, I don't know what would have happened. So, it was good having you, man. And I'm wicked glad we got to shoot the shit again, dude. I'm gonna have to have you come on. Shit happens sometime pretty soon too.
Definitely, I'm glad, dude. You gotta see how many come back on this podcast.
For sure. Anytime, just call me up anytime you need, man. I'm good with saying bad words into a microphone and letting you record it. That's A-okay with me.
Definitely. I'm quite sure people would be thrilled to have a black person when shit happens.
Yeah. You won't be my first. I hate to tell you. But I'm always glad to have more black people on Shit Happens When You Party Naked. I'm always happy.
Because everybody knows partying with black people naked is a good thing.
Dude, let me tell you, like, I have been to a few bachelor parties with some of my black friends in Atlanta, and shit gets really wild. Let me just tell you, I have seen shit. Holy shit. I have been, wow. I got so incredibly hammered at one of the bachelor parties that was thrown by one of my black friends. And we were drinking this stuff out of one of those Gatorade coolers, and it was just, it tasted wonderful, but holy fuck, I got so hammered. Let me tell you this story real quick. I got so drunk at this bachelor party. Let me tell you, first of all, it was a fucking wild party. It was an incredible time. It was a lot of fun. I remember that much. And then me and my buddy Tremaine went back to our other buddy Dave's house, who was, all three of us had been at the bachelor party that night, but Dave lived around the corner, so we were going to go crash at his place. And so me and my buddy Tremaine, Dave crashes. He's out like a light. And me and Tremaine are like, okay, let's make frozen pizza and let's drink a few more shots. And that was, it must have been 3 a.m. or so when we decided to make frozen pizza and drink a few more shots. And the next thing I remember is looking for something to throw up in. I was like, oh my God, I'm about to throw up. I was inside my buddy Dave's apartment. So I'm like, I don't want to just yak on his carpet. I got to find something to throw up in. And so I just grabbed this bin next to me and just, it's all I could do before I just threw up. I just had to. I couldn't make it to the bathroom. I couldn't make it outside. And only later did I realize that it was like one of those planters for like a plant, and it had four holes in the bottom. So like, I yacked in this thing, and there's like four holes in the bottom. So of course the puke went everywhere. It didn't, this thing wasn't holding shit in. It had four big old like quarter size holes in the bottom. And there wasn't a plant in it. Otherwise I probably would have yacked on the plant. It would have kept the yak in. But yeah, so that was fun waking up and cleaning that up at like 8 a.m. That was a good time. And so yeah, I've been to a few parties like that, and what you said is absolutely true. You will have some fun. Yeah, partying naked with your black friends. I highly recommend it to everyone.
Yes.
100% endorsement.
If you're married, that's not a good place to be at.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's different now that I'm a little older, you know, but the bachelor parties were fun. They were good times, you know?
Yeah.
Definitely. I'll invite you to my next one.
I'm down.
Hell yeah.
All right. As always, Devil Cocky Spirits, we are out. Peace.
We are out. Peace.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Delvin Cox Experience. If you'd like more content, you can go on patreon.com/the Delvin Cox Experience. There, you will find bonus podcasts and a lot more content. Also, shout out to Patreon producer, Ben Goodwin, a.k.a. UK Ghostwriter. If you want to check him out, go on Twitter @Ghostwriter_UK. Thank you.
Progressive presents Forest Metaphors, about bundling your home and auto.
In sports, 3 goals is a hat trick. And when you bundle your home and auto with Progressive, you get a hat trick of great savings and round-the-clock protection. So you might be thinking, wait, that's 2 things. A hat trick is 3. But in this metaphor, great savings counts as 2 goals, and so does round-the-clock protection. So it's like 4 goals, and that's more than 3. It's basic math.
Forced Metaphors, presented by Progressive. Bundle and protect today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Discount not available in all states or situations.